David Hawkins is the editor of Congressional Quarterly's Roll Call, author of the Hawkins Here blog and column. He is one of the best things that has ever happened to WAMC because he comes on and talks to us. I don't know why you show up, David. Why? Why do you actually flatter us by coming here?
I have lots of friends who listen, and I started my career at the Times Union, so long, long ago. So I'm still got a fondness for that part of the world.
That's great. David, Senator Menendez on trial for corruption. It seemed like an open and shut to many people, but the jury didn't like it, and it was made clear they couldn't come to a consensus, and it does look like there's going to be a question as to whether the prosecutor wants to go through a second trial here. At the same time, would-be Senator Roy Moore down in Alabama is running, and it looks like the Democrat has a chance, although I doubt it personally, that he's going to win. And then comes the question of whether or not the Senate will expel him before, or even refuse to seat him before he comes. And I'm fascinated by the whole thing. And since there's only a 2-vote margin in the United States Senate, I'm interested in the fact that both of these guys would create a significant risk if they disappeared. What do you make of it?
Oh, it is fascinating. It's rare that we have 2 Senate seats simultaneously embroiled in controversy. In both cases, let's take each case one at a time. Sure. The Menendez case, right? He is charged, right, with taking essentially taking excessive, lavish goodies from a doctor in return for an ophthalmologist in return for going to bat for this guy with federal regulators and helping him with immigration matters and such. He says they're real friends, genuine friends. The Supreme Court ruled a couple of years ago in a case involving the Virginia governor that in order to convict somebody of corruption, of tit for tat corruption, you got to very explicitly prove the so-called quid pro quo, the I'll do this for you if you'll do that for me, has to be very clearly established. And apparently the prosecutor is having a hard time convincing the jury that that's been very clearly established. That having been said, Senator Menendez has been so assuming that there's a mistrial and there's a hung jury this time and the prosecutors go after him again, Menendez's fate is still up in the air. What will be different is that if there's a second trial, it will definitely occur when a Democrat is the governor of New Jersey, meaning that if Menendez were to be convicted and were to be forced to resign his seat or to be expelled if he refused to resign his seat, a Democrat would appoint his successor. In Alabama, no matter what happens with Roy Moore, whenever Roy Moore might be denied his seat in the Senate or expelled from the Senate, it would be a Republican that would fill that seat. So the balance of power wouldn't change in the long term, but with only a 2-vote majority the Republicans have, they're kind of worried about losing even one seat temporarily.
Let's talk about Moore a little bit more. That's a bad, it's not even intended as a pun. You know, I've never seen anything quite like this. You got a guy who is an anathema to both the Republicans and the Democrats. And we had at least one retiring senator who was saying, okay, if I have a choice between voting for Moore or the Democrat, and this is a Republican senator, I'm going to vote for the Democrat.
This is right. That's Jeff Flake, who's sort of positioning himself now that he's not standing for re-election as the conscience of the Republican Party. You know, you say I view this the Moore thing as an incredibly fascinating story. To me, it puts 2 things. It puts President Trump himself in a bind because whether Moore is able to hang on and through the election and even potentially win the election or not has a lot to do with the president. If the president comes down 4-square and says Roy Moore is out of bounds, he's got to go, that will give the establishment Republican wing of the establishment wing of the Republican Party a huge sigh of relief because they think if Moore's in the Senate, he's an incredible millstone around their neck. It's a disaster for them to have a suspected child predator in their midst. But if he, at the same time, Moore is popular among the sort of Steve Bannon nationalist culture warrior wing of the Conservative Party. despite, you know, and they're all willing to overlook his flaws or think that it's a media conspiracy. So he's still got some support. Now, should he win the election, and some polls show that it's neck and neck, it's on December 12th, so a lot could change. Yes, the Republicans could decline to seat him. There are procedures for that. They could send his case to the Ethics Committee and move to expel him. Both of those things would take two-thirds majority votes. And there are many, remember that there are many Republican senators who have been avoiding questions about Donald Trump for the last 9 months by saying, look, the people have spoken, they've expressed their will. This is our president. We got to make do with what we got. It's not, no use for us to question his fitness to serve. The American people made that choice. He's our guy. Now, how do they square those comments about Trump with Roy Moore if he were to be elected?
I want to talk to you, switch subjects, because I have so much to talk to you about. I can't get enough of any of it. But I want to talk to you about the fact that Trump is appointing a number of people who have been deemed unqualified by the American Bar Association. What impact does all of that have?
The fact that the American Bar Association has rated a few of these judicial nominees unqualified, it could get a couple of them in trouble with Republican senators, because, for example, is one of these nominees for a district judgeship, a federal trial judgeship, refused to or did not state on his basic biographical form something that everybody sort of was obvious to everyone, which is that his wife works in the White House counsel's office. Why he didn't say that is a bit of a mystery as you and I are talking now, but that sort of gives rise to his to questions about his veracity and his truthfulness. But we should remember that unlike in decades and even centuries before now, the Senate has changed its own rules, and you can't filibuster a judicial nominee anymore. So long as the Republicans hang virtually together, these people will be confirmed whether they are rated qualified or not. There is one of them who's in appeals court. There's sort of, in my mind, a big difference between federal trial judges, district court judges, who are mostly supposed to just interpret the precedents that are handed down from the higher-ups, and there are hundreds of those, and those higher-ups, the 100 or so, 160, I think, only judges on the federal appeals courts. And Trump has had a remarkable success at filling those. He's gotten 8 confirmed so far this year. That's more than any of his predecessors, going back to Richard Nixon, have gotten done in their first year. That's a product of him working very closely with conservative interest groups, the Heritage Foundation, for example, the so-called Federalist Society, to come up with judges that are the Republican conservative base loves and the Republican Senate is eager to confirm.